If you would turn with me to the book of Romans in chapter 11, I'll be reading a few verses here in the book of Romans in chapter 11. Romans in chapter 11, and I'll read a few verses here in just a moment. The book of Romans in chapter 11. In Romans in chapter 11, and starting right here in verse 7. Romans chapter 11 and verse 7, the Bible tells us this. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back alway. I want you to notice what he starts to say here in verse 11, though. He says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And I like that, what Brother Paul was explaining here, and showing us that even though that as a people, the Jews had rejected the Lord, and that even through them, through their really rejection of the Lord, the Gentiles were a part of the beneficiaries of the Lord and what he provided for us. But he said, wait. He said, if through their fall that we were blessed, how much more when they do get saved? How much even more as those that do turn unto the Lord and looking towards the future, how they would? He says in verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. That he was declaring unto them the reality that the opportunity that God had given to them, he said, I'm trying to make the most of it. I'm trying to make the fullest of the opportunity that God has given me, this office. I magnify it. I count myself as an apostle to the Gentiles. And he said, I'm trying to give it all I got for that purpose of reaching some for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he says this here in verse 14. He says this, though. He says, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. And that's why I want to speak about here this evening, what he says here in verse 14. That Paul, even though he understood where God had placed him, and really in a large part that God had given him the ministry of stretching the boundaries of the gospel, where it would be taken, and that God had allowed him to minister to give the gospel to many that were identified as Gentiles, that he did not forget where he came from. He did not forget that he was of Jewish blood, that he was a Jew, and he longed that they might be saved. We see this in verse 9, and I'm going to refer to it again, where he even speaks about under God as his witness that he wishes even himself were accursed for the Jews which were his kinsmen according to the flesh. That even though it seemed like the thrust of his ministry, the thrust of what his life force was being given for, was to be able to reach the Gentiles, he said, I've not forgotten the Jews. And really, what he describes here in verse 14, that what his prayer was, what his desire was, is that he talks about here in verse 14, that in some way, through how he was able to reach people and how others turned unto the Lord, and even his own testimony, that through that, that as others would see that, and especially the Jews, that they would turn unto the Lord also. And I want to talk about that idea here for just a few minutes here this evening about that, concerning what Paul had to talk about concerning his by any means. By any means. Let's pray. Lord, we do ask that you would please help us at tonight, that Lord, you would deal with us accordingly, that Lord, you would speak to our hearts and minds and stir us, Lord, for what you have for us in your word. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all your goodness in our lives. And Lord, we just ask you to bless us, stretch us, help us to lengthen cords and strengthen stakes for your honor, for your glory. And Lord, we will thank you for it in your precious name. Amen. Right here in the book of Romans in chapter 11 and verse 14, that I believe we get to see a little bit about Paul and about his philosophy of ministry. Now, it has been since people reaching the Lord has begun, there's always been kind of a little bit of controversy between those that have thought that any means are good and relevant, and that the means ought to be very limited and just let God do all the work. And the problem is many times is when people have these ideas that they go to extremes that are not Bible-centered and Bible-based. Are you with me? He talks about it here in the book of Romans in chapter 11, that he says his heart's desire was, his desire that God would use him, that he talks about and even mentions it here in Romans in chapter 11 and verse 14, that he talks about, if by any means I may provoke, he talks about, to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them. Now, Paul's idea specifically, what he was referring to, that through what God allowed him to do, that he would somehow influence those that were identified as Jews to notice what was going on, that through his testimony, that those that were identified as Jews then might end up turning to the Lord. And he talks about that here in verse 14. He talks about by any means. He talks about through the means that were involved, that he was involved in. He talks about another word here, provoke. And he talks about emulation. Means, provoke, emulation. I want to present those three words to you here. And I want to discuss those for just a few minutes here this evening. Then he talks about the means. Now, concerning the means, I understand that the Bible is very clear that when we're speaking of means, that there is a limit to the means which are really lawful in the Lord. For instance, Paul understood this. You look here in the book of Romans in chapter 9, just a couple verses over in the book of Romans in chapter 9. Romans in chapter 9, he talks about this, and he discusses at least a little bit concerning the limits of means. The limits of means. Talks about right here in the book of Romans in chapter 9 and verse 1. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now here it is that Paul is making it very clear that he's being honest. He's not speaking hyperbole. He's not speaking in a way just to draw attention and to be dramatic. But he says, God knows that I'm honest about what I'm about to say here. That he says in verse 2 that he has great heaviness in his heart. He talks about a continual sorrow for his kinsmen according to the flesh. But then he goes on to say this in verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. That he talks about that if it were possible, he wished that in some way, now he knows it's not possible, but in some way that he himself could be accursed, that others could be saved. But the reality is, it's not possible. It's not possible for him to do that. But he was making it very clear to understand that there are limits to the means that God has provided for us to reach others with the gospel. And there may be, hopefully, times in your life that you were so overcome with emotion and passion for others and for them to turn unto the Lord that somehow you wish that because of your love for them and because of your willingness to sacrifice, you wish that somehow maybe you could be accursed that they might live. But that's impossible. Paul said, Paul understood that there were limits of the means. And my friend, let me tell you this, that there are limits of the means that God has made available to us that others might be saved. I cannot be saved for anyone else. Amen. I cannot make anyone get saved. I cannot even stand as a proxy for them to get saved. When someone deals with God, it is them and them alone between them and God that are dying. I can pray for them. Amen. Hopefully that we pray for one another. I can try and encourage them to turn unto the Lord. But ultimately, it is a heart matter. It is a decision between a person and the Lord, what type of relationship they will have with the Lord. That even though Paul may said, I wish I could be accursed for my brethren according to the flesh and give myself for them, it is not possible. See, there is a limit to the means which we're able to have in order to reach others with the gospel. There's a limit to it. There really is. There is a limit to what is lawful under God for us to use. You see, I believe that I need to do everything I can to reach others with the gospel, but I must not be willing to use carnal means in order to do it. They must be Spirit-led, God-controlled for His honor and for His glory. Wouldn't you agree? Amen? See, he tells us this and he shows us that there is a limit. But these means, whatever it is that we have, the means that God gives to us, let me point two things out that I hope that you would employ concerning any means which are used in order to reach people. Let me say first of all the word passion. The word passion. Turn with me to the book of Luke in chapter 14. Luke in chapter 14. The Bible tells us here, concerning the ways that we might reach others to bring them unto the Lord. In Luke in chapter 14, and right here in verse 20, the Bible says, "And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." So here it is, it shows us the heart of the Father in reaching others. If there would be some that would reject, that you go to try and reach them for the Lord, if they reject, and especially the house of Israel, he said, go find others that will receive it. Even those that otherwise people would reject them, go reach them. Talks about that in verse 21, where he talks about bring hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. But then the Bible tells us this. It says in verse 23, "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." The Bible uses a very important word that we ought to take note of, that what God has for us when we would reach others with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it would be wise to do what we do with passion. With passion. That unaffected care for others, but we ought to do it with passion. The Bible talks about here that we ought to compel them. Compel them. I like what the Bible just doesn't use we ought to just let them know casually, that we ought not to just have a casual relationship. Although I'm for trying to reach everyone, that you may have some type of dealings with them. But the Bible uses the word compel. That's talking about we ought to try and influence them in a way that they ought to turn unto the Lord. You see, I believe that the Bible teaches us that means are an important part of reaching people with the gospel. This idea of doing what we do with a passion. Compelling them to come in, he says, that my house may be filled. Let me give a second word, though. Also, purpose. Purpose. Here in the book of Matthew in chapter 28, hopefully a very familiar verse for each and every one of us. But the Bible talks about here in the book of Matthew that there was a purpose, there was a plan that God has for us. In the book of Matthew in chapter 28, and verses 19 and 20, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." But the Bible makes it very clear that in the means that we use, that there ought to be a purpose to it. In other words, that I'm not having activity for the sake of activity, but my activity has a goal in mind, that I am going forth. He gives, first of all, we see here in the book of Matthew in chapter 28 and verse 19, that there ought to be a purpose to our action, that we've got to go. Amen? Are you with me? We got to go. You know, we're living in a day that I'm afraid many times in Christianity, I'm glad that it's not necessarily here, but that people think somehow you just put a church up and people are going to come. And I'll tell you, if you're having some of the things and some of the programs that are outside of what I believe are proper means, you may be able to accomplish that and fill a building. But let me tell you this, the rock bands can fill a building too. That doesn't mean they're honoring and glorifying to God. And just because it's filled, it doesn't mean that it's wrong. But I'm just saying, just because it's filled does not mean it's right. It must be done God's way. That purpose must be for God's honor and for God's glory, that we must have a willingness to put action to what it is that God has for us. And he makes it very clear that the purpose, a part of our purpose, is to go. There should be some action. Secondly, he talks about the place. He says, "Go ye therefore," he says in verse 19, "and teach all nations." That there is a place involved. Not only is there an action, a performance involved, but there is a place. That we have a responsibility to go from where we are to outside of where we are. And he even gives the scope of that, and he describes, he gives us a limit of where we're to go, and that's all nations. That if it exists on this planet, we're to get there. We're to somehow have an influence, have a reach, so that we can reach people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may not be able to go there personally yourself, but we should be involved in some way on influencing, reaching others with the gospel on the far-flung lands. Amen? This was a corporate directive that he was giving them to go ye therefore and teach all nations. Because the reality was, these men that he was specifically speaking to, that each and every individual would not be able to fulfill that personally themselves in their lifetime. Are you hearing me? But it was a corporate directive that through them, through their influence, that they were able to reach others with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I forgot this earlier, but I'm going to say it right here. You know, I appreciate the book of Romans, because out of all the things that Paul wrote, not of the whole Bible, I believe that there are some that I really enjoy parts more than others, but what Paul himself wrote, I believe Romans is probably about the most important thing that Paul wrote, even though it was all of it is important. But I do think that there's something about the book of Romans, getting a handle on it, that for the servant of God, for those that would reach others with the gospel and try and help them to understand what God's plan for them is, that the book of Romans is indispensable. Indispensable. And one of the ways is right here, talking about this, is about this matter of reaching others with the gospel. A few years back, we had an opportunity. We did a vacation Bible school here. It was a few years, I think. It wasn't this past year. But we were talking about missions a little bit. I just pulled some things out right here we had made a while back, and I appreciated it. And I'm saying it right now because if anyone's interested that maybe didn't hear it back then, and even when I was mentioning, that these are available to people for free. You want one, I'll give it to you. No problem. But on one side of it, it gives the Romans Road. This bookmark is what it is. And some of you may have gotten, but you lost it. But I do have some here, and if you'd like some, I got a handful of them, more than just right here. I've got a few more inside of my cabinet. But what I really appreciated quite a bit as well is on the other side, these are all missionaries that we support here at Liberty Baptist Church. Okay? Here on these walls here at Liberty Baptist Church, there are names of missionaries. And unless you regularly go over there and stand by each board to remember them, or you have them written down somewhere, it's not always easy to remember all the missionaries. But I believe there's power in prayer. You can get one of these, and I would love to have people, because I believe it makes a difference. That prayer makes a difference, and especially for our missionaries, it has them all listed here in the fields where they are, to give young people, to give adults a heart for the harvest that God has available to us all over this world. See, because I believe that this thing about reaching others with the gospel, that it ought to be done with passion, and it ought to be done with a purpose in that we put some action to it, but there's a place involved in it. That it's not enough for us to care and be invested in reaching people who might enter into our church, but even beyond, that, finding those and compelling those that they might turn unto the Lord. I'm telling you, that's how I was found, and I guarantee you this, probably most of the people that are here, I'm not going to take a survey tonight, but probably most of the people that are here, you are not reached as a result of being in a church service and someone being able to draw you in, but that you were probably somewhere along the line given a gospel witness outside of a church, away from a church, where then God was dealing with you concerning the need of salvation for you. See, there's a place that's involved, and it's outside. It's going out there, and even the limits, the far boundaries of it, he says it's all nations. And until we have reached all nations sufficiently with the gospel, that we've really not fulfilled what God has for us. The purpose, the performance, and the place, and the purpose is for a specified reason. He talks about it right here in Matthew in chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, that there is a visible expectation that we can look for, is that we want to be baptizing them. But baptizing them, he tells them here, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That the end game, the purpose is that they would be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would not only be reached with the gospel to turn unto the Lord, but part of our purpose is that we would make disciples of people for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. That's the end game. Not simply for them to be saved, although that's part of it and we need to do that, but part of that purpose is that we might make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and visible disciples. Amen. Visible disciples. What am I talking about this evening? I'm talking about this evening that Paul believed that there was a need for means, that he understood that there was a limit to means, but that within the limits, within the boundaries that God has presented to us in order to use means, that there are many things that are available to us to reach others, to influence them for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I say these things because here at Liberty Baptist Church, I believe we believe in means. We try and do things in order to try and encourage people, to try and influence them in such a way that they might be in a position that they can hear the gospel, that they can respond right to the gospel and be saved, and that they can also be encouraged to continue in the things that God has for them, that they might be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to say that I got all excited all the time when I was a kid, that I made the ultimate decision for coming to church because I was going to get a popcorn ball, but I'll tell you this, it didn't hurt. Amen. You know, I didn't always make the decision in order to come to get up early on the bus and ride the bus to Liberty Baptist Church because I was going to get hot Cheetos and cheese. That was not the deal breaker. But I'll tell you, it didn't hurt. Amen, it didn't hurt. And I was glad that people were willing to do that. I'll be honest with you, probably more than anything, it was Greg Sanders knocking on my door at 9 o'clock and saying, "Roy, it's time for church," and knowing that it was time. And I will say this, that many times I got dressed before I went to bed because I wanted to, when he came and I heard that knock, boom, I was on my way, and I was on my way out the door doing this and on my way to church because I wanted to be there. But you see, sometimes it took a little bit of means. Now that's not necessary. Now instead of Greg Sanders, it's my wife. Wake up, Roy. Time for church. No, I'm just kidding with you. But really, the truth of the matter is, Paul understood that there were many means that are very appropriate, very good, and he described it as by any means. By any means. He said there are many things that we have at our disposal that if I can somehow influence people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, man, I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it. You know, I'd like to try to really influence some people to pray for missionaries. That's why I like that. That's why I'm putting that there. See that? Get one of those. Stick it in your Bible. You pray. You can read over them. Read over these missionaries. Pray to God. God would help them. You can remember them when you hear about them or when you see the letters that we have in the bulletin, things like that. Which brings me to my second idea that I'd like to bring forth. Not only means, but he uses the word here in Romans in chapter 11. If you look here in Romans in chapter 11 and verse 14, he says, if by any means I may provoke. Provoke. You know, Paul used an interesting word, the word provoke. That he wanted to put people in a situation such that when he delivered unto them, or through his life, through his message, he wanted to put people in a situation that they understood clearly what that message was, first of all. You see, there will be no provoking unless you understand, first of all, what the message is. A mixed signal, an ambiguous message, a message that is unintelligible, it cannot be acted upon. So before any action, any expectation can be there, there must be a clear message presented. And that's why one of my probably favorite verses is in Habakkuk in chapter 2, where Habakkuk is given the directive to write plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. Habakkuk was given a message, and he was given the directive that you are to write this message in such a way that it is readable, that it is legible, and it is clearly understood. I believe that more than anything, that we have a responsibility to present the gospel in such a way that it is very clear. I'll be honest, you know, I'm glad when I was a young person, people made it very clear what the expectation is that God had for me concerning the gospel. It's sad, I talk to adults who claim to have been to church for many years, and they really have no clear understanding of what it means to be saved, what the Bible really teaches about it. Man, I would talk to people all the time, and I'll tell them, man, have you been born again? Do you know what the Bible means, how to be saved, what it means to be born again on your way to heaven? And they'll tell me something like, well, I've been baptized, or, I think so, or, and okay, well, yeah, then I tell them, okay, well, tell me about it. If I was someone that was wanting to be saved, if I was someone that wanted to know how to get to heaven, what would you tell me? And I'll tell you, it's sad, but time and time and time again, if I get any words at all, they're not even understandable. And I'm not saying that they're not real words that I understand, but they're not strung together in such a way that I could even do anything about it. Or if they do give me something that's understandable, I can't really act on it. There's not enough meat there in order to act upon it. And I believe that the gospel should be presented in such a way that not only people have the opportunity to understand exactly what you are saying, but that they can act on it. They can act on it. You see, it must be clear and it must be cutting. The Bible talks about in the book of Acts in chapter 6 and Acts in chapter 7. It uses the word when the message was given out that they were cut to the heart. Talks about that, or they are talking about Stephen, that they could not resist the Spirit with which he spake. I'm telling you, the only way you can get to that point where people are cut to the heart is if you're giving them something that is clear, and also that is something that you expect them to act upon it. Are you hearing me? You know, if I say something, and it may be very true, powerful, and potent, very clear, but if there's really nothing there that I'm expecting action upon their part, my friend, I really haven't done very much. And you know, the dearth of preaching that we find in the day that we live in, there are many times people say things that sound very good, that whatever they say is very profound, or it sounds great and all the rest of it, but there's no expectation of action from what they said. They said something that was good, but maybe, and something that, wow, it wowed you. But it has not put you in a position where it forces you to act upon it, to make a decision. And my friend, if we are to be wise and to be people that would provoke others with the message of the gospel in particular and the words of the Bible in general, it is that they must be clear and they must be cutting enough that they can, that we can expect action from it, that there's an expectation there. Paul said in Romans in chapter 11 and verse 14 that he said that I may provoke. He was expecting an action. Now that may mean sometimes that they may choose to reject it, but they made a choice. It may mean that they chose to accept it, but they made a choice. And you see, in this world, what people need more than anything else, they need to be put in a position where they are given the words of God, specifically the gospel, in such a way that they must make a decision. Must make a decision. Now, I like to use the book of Romans whenever I witness to people. The core of the message that I present to people does come from the book of Romans. But it's very rare, but that I try to get to a point that I'm talking to a person, that they will give me enough time that I can deal with them, that I put them in a position that they will make a decision. And I show them very clearly what the gospel is, how we must trust Christ, how we must receive Him, according to John chapter 1 and verse 12, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, and Romans in chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. But then after I tell them, I try to be very careful and that I just don't leave them hanging. You know, I've seen that many times. People tell them all the good words and then they just leave them somehow, that someone's going to say, I think I need to do something here. No, that's not what I want to do. I put it right there for them. I say, now, knowing all these things that I said, and this is basically what I say anyways, I say, what I'd like to do is before we finish here, what I want to do is I want to pray for you. And I want to pray and thank the Lord for the opportunity to share this with you. And that's true. That's exactly what I want to do. Hey, everyone needs prayer, amen? And as well as God ought to be thanked for any opportunity that we have to present His Word. And I ask people, let me do that. But then I tell them this, because I do not want to leave them. I say, would you be willing also to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, right now? And I'll tell you, that right there puts people in a situation that they need to make a decision. And I wish I could say that every time I've said that, someone has said, oh yes, that's exactly what I need, and that's what I want to do. I haven't always had that happen. The sad thing is that there have been many times I've had people say, no, not today. Or I've had people say, I'm not ready. Or I've had people say, they start to look around at each other, well, what do you think? Well, the truth of the matter is, what's happened here, the fear of man bringeth a snare. I wish everyone would trust, but they don't always. But I believe one of the important parts of the world that we live in, that people must be presented with the truth of the gospel specifically, but also the words of the Bible as well in general, to make a decision. Paul said that one of his desires was concerning the Jews specifically, but people in general, his philosophy of ministry was that he wanted to provoke people. And let me say lastly what he said here in Romans in chapter 11 and verse 14, that the means that he used, one of the main means in verse 14, that he says, if by any means I may provoke to emulation. Now that's an important word, because what Paul was speaking of when he spoke of emulation, he was putting himself in a very precarious position, in that he was presenting himself as being worthy of being copied. Now, there are many things in my life, I'll be honest, that I don't think really are worth copying. But I will say this, and this is not being arrogant, but this is just the reality of life. There are some things I really wish people would copy me in. I wish people would emulate me in. I really wish that people would emulate me in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. Now, there may be some things I've done wrong and chosen wrongly in my life, but there is one thing I know that I have right, that everyone that does, they've got it right, that they've trusted the Lord and they've been born again. Let me tell you this, I believe that I've been baptized, and I wish everyone would also get baptized. I don't think that's really arrogant. That's simply having a biblical-based desire of seeing people do the things that God would have them to do. And that's what Paul was looking for. He said, there are some things in my life that I believe are worthy of emulation. He wasn't being arrogant about it. He was not being in such a way that he was having a big ego about it. But he said, look, I just believe there's some things right that God has given me. He says, and I want to put them in a position that others would emulate it. That I really wish that some Jews would emulate, would imitate what I've done in my life. But if we are to be a good pattern for emulation, let me put out a few things, and then I'll be done here this evening. Let me say, first of all, that we must be consistent. Must be consistent. The Bible tells us concerning Moses, for instance, in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 7, that God spoke of Moses that he was faithful in all his house. One thing that God presents is something to be striven, something to shoot for in our life that we ought to all strive for, is to be faithful. The Bible talks about, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 2. That what God desires for us is a faithfulness. Something that is consistent in our life that can be seen day in and day out, that then it might be able to be emulated. Paul talked about it in the book of Acts in chapter 20, verses 18 and 20. I want you to see this in the book of Acts in chapter 20, one of the classic ideas concerning Paul and us getting a hold of what the Lord had given him in his philosophy of ministry. In the book of Acts in chapter 20, starting in verse 18, and the Bible tells us this, Paul said, and when they were come to him, talking about the elders from Ephesus, he says, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul gave us a little snapshot of his philosophy of ministry and his pattern of ministry, but especially what he said in verse 18. He talked about, he says, I came into Asia after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. My friend, that speaks of faithfulness. I believe if we would reach a world for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must have faithfulness. You don't have to be fancy. You do not have to have necessarily flair. But what God desires, what God is looking for, is a faithfulness. That the only way that emulation is possible, if there is a faithful life that is patterned before this world. And I like how he said it, at all seasons. You know what? I believe that the world needs to see us, what it's like when we go through a valley. I believe it's important as well that if we are to be a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, that they also see us what it's like when we're on the top of the mountain. Because, my friend, it is both. And how we walk with the Lord in both of those and everything in between is very important. And that's what Paul was speaking to these brothers and sisters, or these folks there in Miletus, as he called them, from Ephesus. He says, you've known my manner of life. But he just didn't stop there. He said, you knew what it was like at all seasons. He said, you knew what I was like at my best, but he says, you also knew what I was like at my worst, and how it was still through the Lord that we would get through these things. And I'll tell you, I've been around here long enough, and I've known some people around here long enough. I'll be honest, you probably seen me at my best. But I've been around long enough as well, you probably seen me at my worst. And hopefully that I presented something to folks that is worthy of imitation and emulation unto the Lord as I follow the Lord for his honor and glory. Because that's what I've learned in others. Because I've been around long enough and saved long enough, I've seen some people at their very best. But I've also seen them at their worst and see how they got beyond it. And see how God brought them out of whatever difficulties they may have been going through and saw how they were able to glorify God on the other side and know that they are human, but they trust God. They know God. That I've seen them at their best and their worst, and they still went on for the Lord, that this world needs a faithful Christian to be able to identify with and know that the Christian life is not all cotton candy and butterflies. Sometimes it's a little bit difficult. But a faithful Christian is one who can be looked at and seen and say, you know what? That's worthy of emulation. That's worthy of emulation. They have a life that's consistent, that's faithful. But also they have a life that's copyable, that's accessible. That Paul described unto them here. That he presented them with a pattern. He said, you've known my manner of life. And I believe that that ties into the clarity of the message, that it must be something that is copyable. Let me tell you, there's many things in life. You look at a pattern of someone's life. You look at what they've done. You think, man, there's no one can do that. There's no way. I could never copy that. But I'll tell you, Paul said, I presented you something that you can copy. You've known my manner of life. I've shown you and taught you publicly and from house to house and showed you, he talks about here in verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. He said, I left you with something. He says, I didn't give you those little secrets and held back something so you couldn't see and know the key to it. He said, man, I gave you everything that you could know so that not only that you could see what I did, but that you could repeat it. You could repeat it, that it's copyable. And my friend, if there's something that's been a blessing to me in my life, that there were some folks that showed me that they were not a hypocrite in their life, but they were authentic. And I was able to see that what they were living, that they were not some Superman or Superwoman, but it was copyable, that it was repeatable, that the same way God worked through them, God can work through me. And Paul said, I want to show something to this world, the Jews specifically, but others in general, that I want to provoke them to emulation, that I want to lead them with something, make them make a choice, and let them know that they can do it as well. Now, my friend, there may be many things in your life that are really not worthy of copying. There may be those. But there are some things I believe that are. And as we draw closer to the Lord and we're more conformed to His image, hopefully there's more and more. But there ought to be something that we have in our life that's copyable for His honor and for His glory. If nothing else, that you can be copyable in that area, first of all, of getting saved. Getting saved. Second of all, being baptized. I believe many times there's not enough said about that as well. Now, I understand the concern that you never want people to tie baptism towards being saved. But let me tell you, it's a Bible truth that's necessary. Amen. It's an important thing. You know, I talk to people all the time when I'm witnessing to them. And one of the first things that they say, I say, are you saved? Have you been born again? Well, I've been baptized. And I got to be very careful and tell them, look, I believe in being baptized. We here at Liberty Baptist Church, believe me, we baptize everyone we can. But we only do it what the Bible says. And when the Bible speaks of baptism, there's a difference between baptism and being born again. Though we believe in baptism, there's a place and there's a part of that in our Christian walk as the Lord deals with us. But my friend, before anything else, what you need is you need to get born again. I believe there are some things in your life that are copyable, and we ought to be adding more. Hopefully you're reading the Bible. I believe reading the Bible ought to be copyable. Amen. It's worthy of being copied. Prayer, Bible reading, church attendance. Amen. Just being at church, being faithful to church, being a faithful witness, being a faithful giver. These are some things that I believe are easily identifiable and able to be emulated. And hopefully there's some other things. Hopefully you're adding some of the fruit of the Spirit that the Lord has as well. But there are some things that this world needs that as they look at us, that they are provoked to emulation by any means necessary under God. Are you provoking people to emulation by the means that God has provided to you? Now don't get crazy on us, because there are some limits to it. Even Paul said, I wish I could be a curse for my kinsmen according to the flesh. But the reality was he couldn't. And there are some limits to the things that we can't do. See, I can't get baptized for anyone. I can't get saved for anyone. I can't read the Bible for anyone. But what I can do, I can be faithful to do it myself and encourage others so that they might do it also. Provoking them to emulation. Provoke to emulation. And I do hope that that's what you would do as well. Now let me ask you this though here tonight. even though that we have a responsibility as Christians, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, to provoke others to emulation, that means nothing if, first of all, you haven't been saved. Let me ask you here tonight, how many of you would say, I don't hope I'm saved, I don't think I'm saved, but I know for a Bible reason, if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven, I've been born again, I'm just going to say that, I'm saved, hallelujah, amen, all over. Well, that's good, probably about everyone here. Now, if you're not saved, though, you can be saved. And it's something that you ought to consider and look into. As every service I ever have an opportunity, I try to say that we're not trying to tell you to do anything or get you to do anything, but I really want to have the opportunity to show you what the Bible says it looks like to be born again, and hopefully you make the right choice. But if you're here today and you've not been born again, we'd like to have that opportunity. But as Christians, my desire for God's people is that you would grab a hold of using the means that God has available to us to provoke some to emulation. Provoke some to emulation. Having something worthy to be emulated, but then also doing our part to provoke others in order to be a part of that. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for tonight. We ask that you would deal with hearts, speak to people. And Lord, that we would seek to have lives, Lord, of faithfulness and of blessing for you. That we can, Lord, encourage some, that we can influence some for your honor and glory.